The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 67 of Gotham Undercover. And we are covering the season finale tonight. I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And we are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or search for the show's Facebook page by looking for Gotham Undercover.
That's right, and we are covering Heavy Dirty Soul, and it was written by Robert Hull, who's an EP on Gotham, and directed by Rob Bailey, who's done work on Gotham and, surprise, surprise, Criminal Minds. So, yeah, once again, we have an EP in the writer's spot there taking full reign, and somebody who has done some Gotham eps and definitely familiar with the crew as directors. So I think they did a really good job, and I like this episode even better than the hour one because of how much we got and all the twists and turns in this episode.
I agree 100%. This was by far my favorite of the whole season, second half finale. So yeah, I agree. We do have that news there, but I think I want to skip over that and we'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
Is that good? Okay.
Sure.
So what are our ratings, speaking of how much we liked it?
I gave it 9 Bruces in Black.
Bruces in Black. I hit this. I'm sorry. No, that's not the right song. I gave it a little higher, 9.5 Patient Chart.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
And that, of course, refers to the end of the episode. Was a very interesting development, I thought.
Indeed.
Yeah. So my story titles, and I have more than 3, again, because we had that little, it wasn't a montage at the end, but they did a similar thing, like they got away from it, but they used to do, where they had like a little montage of like storyline wrap-ups or flashes
right
in episodes. So they did kind of a little flash into different storylines at the end. So that is my story area. A story, though, is pity, with 2 T's, pity he didn't snap out of it sooner. That is, of course, in reference to the Lazarus Pit. And then also in the A story is a win-win for the, and it's DH. I meant to put DH. A win-win for the DH, and it's not designated hitter. It is Demon's Head. And then B story, chasing the cure, because that was literally what the B story was.
Yeah, exactly.
They were chasing it everywhere. And then my C story is the wrap-up of all the little ending storylines, and I'm going to go backwards in this line. Lighting up a siren, snap goes the cat, back in Cyrus Gold. It's back in gold, but with a Cyrus in front of it. And then the man in black.
It's
the one, and I bolded it. So it's literally in black. Yeah, so lots of things happening in this episode, and bodies were dropping, and things were happening left and right. People were being traded for other people, and bombs were going off, and all kinds of things. So just so many things. What would you like to talk about first?
Let's kind of go... Ace, let's just go in order because I think it kind of works that way. So
yeah, it started at pity he didn't snap out of it sooner in a win-win DH, because where we left off in the last episode was him stabbing Alfred, and it immediately picked up with him falling to his knees in agony, realizing what he'd done, and of course Roz marveling at the fact that he had broken out of the conditioning.
Right.
So that was what happened right at the beginning of the episode. And he kind of, Roz kind of slunk back into the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving Bruce these commands in his brain somehow. It was like a whispery thing.
Yeah, using that, I don't know how he was doing it, but it was very cool the way that he was doing it, and the fact that he just literally disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a puff of smoke. I mean,
and the only thing that's left is his cape.
Yeah, that's right. He slinks into the that's really the only way to say it is that he drifts back into the shadows and he's gone. That's his whole thing, is that the League of Shadows, that's their, they're ninjas, they're assassins, I guess. Mm-hmm. Ninja assassins. That's their bag, is, operating where you can't see them, and he's the king of them. So that's, he only appeared to Bruce and everyone else when he knew that it was fortuitous to him for him mm-hmm. to do so. And he gave Bruce his orders, hey, you got to kill him if you want to come with me. And when he did, and then he snapped out of it. And here's where the win-win comes in. He realizes that Bruce snapped out of it. And so that's a win, because he's got a very strong mind and he knows that he can slink away and come back later and train that strong mind.
Right.
And maybe get an ally, because he'll have that, hey, I helped you cure your butler that one
time. Yeah. And the interesting thing is he really lays it out that he wants that air, that night in the darkness.
Right.
And now he has somebody, and he even talks about prophecy.
Right.
And so it's a win, because we talked about last episode that he knows how to use people as tools, and he not only got a controlled Bruce, but now he's got a stronger, more powerful tool that he can use, and we talked about that last episode. Yeah.
Either way, he wins.
Yeah, right. And the interesting thing is he is very much planning on things, because we talked about the Lazarus Pit being there.
Right.
And he knows, in order to have any type of leverage and hold on Bruce, he's going to have a guarantee that Bruce is not going to hate him because he killed Alfred. So he's got this out with having the Lazarus Pit there, that he can bring Alfred back. And so you don't have that separation and that just that wall of division. So you've got, like he says, you've got leverage, so that he can say, well, I did, it was a test, and I planned on it. I brought him back with the Lazarus Pit.
Right.
So yeah, very smart. And yeah. It
doesn't hurt to have it there anyway, because now he can kind of lurk if he wants to and have that heavy hand in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything happens to him, he'll have the pit there to use.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it just, that little bit in this episode and the last episode really makes me look forward to next season, mm-hmm. because it left me wanting more.
It was so good.
Yeah. And just that little bit, in those two episodes, it was so good.
Yeah. And as soon as he slinks away and it sinks into Bruce what he's done, he looks at that bowl and he gets, he got that voice in his head saying, use the pit, use the waters. And he takes it's green liquid, but once he takes it out, it's not as concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
And he pours it on Alfred's wound and it immediately closes up. And it is, a mirror of other scenes that we've seen. Like it's very much like, Indiana Jones with Sean Connery there,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Grail. So it's, it's very resurrection-y.
Right.
And And then because he didn't actually use the Lazarus pit, he just used some of the water, Alfred is not fully healed. He still has to go to the hospital and get treated. So there's that uncertainty. And then we don't have to worry about the side effects of the pit either. So
they've gotten
us off of their back. Fans that are like, but what about, you know, so there's no insanity coming for Alfred, most likely. No weird side effects. And this is, I know that Justina asked this the other day, and it's probably in her feedback for us too, but the Lazarus pit, it makes you insane if you use it. In the Joker's case, it makes you sane. and Nyssa made a version of the Lazarus pit that allows you to use it without ill effects, and you can use it more than once over and over and over again. And that's just her. Roz is, you can't use over and over and over again. So you can only use the pit like once, and then you have to go find another one. And I mean, that there's a whole big thing about the Lazarus pit. So yeah, it keeps him young, but there are strings attached to it.
Definitely.
So yeah, there's a whole thing behind it, but as it is, there are side effects. It's not like on the Arrow, though. I just wanted to get that out of the way right now. The Arrow makes up its own mythology when it comes to Batman villains. Okay, so yeah, we had that, and the scenes in the hospital, I don't know about you, but man, all of them, including the one with Selena, were just gut-wrenching.
Yeah, so much guilt, because Bruce had locked away his feelings, and now it's all coming flooding back, you know, where you had this absence of feeling, and you see the heartbreak when the doctor asks him who he is to Alfred, and he says family, and just to see all those emotions. And then Selena comes in to try to offer some comfort, and he's just so overwhelmed that he just pushes back. And it's just heartbreaking, because you know that she's had animosity towards Alfred, but she cares for Bruce and she cares for Alfred in her own way. And to have Bruce push back so, and she says, you know, I guess you don't know me. It's just, it's so heartbreaking, because, you know, Bruce is going to realize what he's done, you know, once he's had time to process. Sure. But
and that's their dance, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's part of their whole dance and how they tiptoe around each other for pretty much for the rest of their lives.
Right. And, you know, I once again, too, I love the Alfred and Bruce conversation there after Alfred wakes up, because Alfred talks about, you've got to find your true north, the thing worth fighting for, you know, once again, moving him down the line of, okay, what am I really fighting for? How am I going to make myself move past this and use it? And so, those conversations with Alfred are just so good.
They're gold.
Yeah, and I love the progressions that we've seen over the last three seasons of Alfred really coming alongside and being there for Bruce, but being that mentor and that sounding board and that help, rather than just a guardian, because his role is changing. And like I said, I just love it, because you got to see how pivotal Alfred is to Bruce even at this point, and you hear that history, and it's just so good. I really enjoyed those scenes.
Me too. And I think that they might have had the Selena fight in the hallway in order to shift that, what are you fighting for, to Gotham entirely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that he's not, you know, fighting for love. He's, you know,
yeah.
The city is where he needs to put that attention. Mm-hmm. And right now, and we do have to mention that also, you know, she's not blameless in all this either.
No, no.
I mean, she does her fair share of dancing and pushing and right. all kinds of stuff through the years. And she has done so this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's pushed him away several times. So she doesn't have really 100% blameless guilt in that hallway. I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have snapped at her like that. But I can see, you know, he's grieving right now. He's in a bad place.
Right.
And she is really there innocently, but it's not the time.
Yeah.
Is all I can say. It was a bad time. And even though she didn't know that, you know, she didn't know about the floodgates opening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she could have tiptoed a little better.
Yeah.
But still, it was heart-wrenching to see, because that does push her in a different direction later on.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see her again until the end, right?
Yeah, we don't see her till the very end. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, in the hospital, we see a couple more scenes with Bruce. He's talking to Alfred while Alfred is still out. We see him looking at the television where there are reports about mm-hmm. how people were hurt.
Right.
About how the city has descended into chaos, about how only 90% of people were cured. And he realizes that's his fault, 100% his fault. Or at least that's what he's saying in his head, that it's 100% his fault. And Alfred wakes up and says, it's not on you. But
right.
he knows that it is somewhat on him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there is a little bit of him that he thinks, you know, I could have fought back. I didn't have to hit that button. If I broke out of it after I stabbed you, maybe I could have broken out of it earlier. So there's that little bit of doubt
mm-hmm.
in his head.
Yeah. And he's also thinking about his motivations for putting emotions away, too, I mm-hmm. think, and realizing that, you know, if he had not done that, then things might be different too. So yeah, a lot of stuff is going on in his head. So yeah.
Yeah, he did do that quicker than he should have maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. The cufflinks, hey, here you go. Pearl necklace, yeah, here. He hesitated with the pearl necklace, to be fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was great, and we'll talk about what happens at the end of the episode later. We have the whole chasing the cure thing, and that is pretty complicated, but it boils down to a whole thing with the trade-off with Fish and Oswald and Ed, and then the precinct. They go to the precinct, and there's, you know, a bunch of stuff happening there with Fish and the... Fish died in the first part, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so they go to get Tetch in this part.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the Arrow warehouse this part. And there's going to be a handoff, but Ed has a hand grenade around Tetch's
mm-hmm.
neck, right?
Yeah.
And James has Oswald, and they're ready to trade places. And Ed thinks it's interesting that James is infected, because James kind of growls a little mm-hmm. bit there. And then all of a sudden, who comes bursting in?
Babs, Tabs, and Butch.
Stabby Babs, yeah. And her merry band of sirens. And
yeah.
And yeah, that kind of mucks things up a little bit.
Yeah, it throws things off, because they have to make the exchange real quick. Riddler throws the grenade and they make the exchange, but... unfortunately, you know, we have Riddler taking Penguin. Penguin taking Riddler at that right. point, stealing the police cruiser. And so, you know, we have our heroes trying to hoof it, but they've got to escape into this industrial building and has no back escape way. Right. So they have to come up with some type of way to get out. And
James Smash.
Yeah, well, and Tesh is egging him on to yeah. give in to the virus. Yeah. And he's probably regretting that right about now.
Uh-huh.
Because honestly, I thought he was dead.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, okay, you see him like taped up, but and then you see the amount of the mason jar full of blood that they take into the lab techs, and you're like, he's dead. But then you get the thing at the end that they stitched him up and he's back in Arkham. Yeah. So it's like, okay, but the Harvey taking the blood in and say, what, you haven't seen a mason jar full of blood?
Yeah, what is it, a gill? It's a lot of, I'm quoting Archer there for anyone who, they take a bunch of blood from Archer for a paternity test so that he's too weak to break in to the facility and steal the blood to change the results. So they take, you know, a mason jar full of blood. And he's like, well, how much is a gill? I thought for sure he was out. But he's okay, apparently. I guess they're hooking him up to a couple banana bags.
Yeah.
in the hospital and getting him all worked out. He's still alive, so I guess there's a chance that we'll see the Mad Hatter back again next
week. Yeah, yeah. Keeping the door open there. But so the PD uses Hugo's, you know, formula and develops the cure, but Jim does not want to take it unless there's two doses, because he's still thinking about Lee, and I think he realizes that in order to get the dose to Lee, he's going to still have to have that strength that the virus gives him. And so he takes the dose and he's going to dose her. And her siren's call is too much for him.
they're gonna take off in the train,
mm-hmm.
and they have to be talked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an easy talk.
No. Harvey has to do some persuading, and I love it at the end. He says, "You threw me into two train cars. I felt like a cartoon."
Right? And it kind of looked like a cartoon, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Harvey wasn't thrilled. But
no.
He ended up breaking out. That's as close as he came to giving in.
Right.
To that madness.
And it was really the talk with Harvey and seeing the badge and the words that Harvey was sharing about him, that he's the best cop, and seeing that
threw back in his face
at
the end of the episode, right?
But you know, just seeing that key and how key that badge has been in the last little bit, and you know, even there he kind of, you know, lets go and gets in the train car and doesn't, you know, even think about anything until he takes a closer look at the badge and sees that Harvey's put two doses on the back of the badge. Yeah.
And then he sits down next to Lee and gives her one on the sly. Mm-hmm. And then they sit down and he gives himself one. And of course, what does she do? She leaves town.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm wondering, okay, is she not going to be, you know, is this her out for not being in next season? Because, you know, I really, and we'll talk about this in the news, but, you know, I understand kind of what they may have been hinting at if that news is true. But still, I just don't know if how they're going to, because it would feel really weird if they bring her back like immediately.
Right.
I think maybe at the tail end of 4.
Maybe.
Because the way that she kind of gives a summary about what Gotham is and how she sees it better now that she's had the virus, and that she really sets Jim free to save the city, hoping that it will send him back to her. But we know that's not the case.
Nope.
I mean, you know, even when you've got Batman there, he's still in charge and wanting to help and save the city. So she's got to change, or, you know, not, that's not going to happen. Right. Yeah. Right. So it's I don't know.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. He's in Gotham for the long haul.
Right.
And we got to find another Barbara for him. Because, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute, too. So they do. They have the cure, and we find out that it's cured 90% of the city, as I mentioned. And
so the interesting thing I caught on the, I guess, my rewatch was they released it. And it covered 90, and then they said they were manufacturing individual doses or something like right. that. So
try and get the people that they could.
The
get.
People that they didn't hit the with right. the first go right. round.
And
so
I'm
yeah.
guessing also if they pull people in, like for looting or whatever, they'll give them right. the doses as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people that come in wanting the dose and then people that are brought in will also get the dose. But I'm guessing they right. still won't get all 100%.
No, because that wouldn't be any fun. And we need a way of having some drama. So
exactly. We're going to get some people that weren't undoped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure. The city has been mostly cured, and we do know that Gotham goes through phases of cured, uncured, dose.
Right.
Gotham is a very tumultuous place through many changes, very cyclical, and this just seems to be one of the earliest cycles of madness.
Right, exactly.
It's gone through crime. But this is madness, and that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. So that was Chasing the Cure. Now we have the little ending parts. Let's talk about lighting up a siren. Barbara is very unhappy about some things that go down in this episode.
They're not
taking care of Tetch for her. They do manage to get Tetch for a little bit, but he gets loose and she goes off.
Yeah, and it really pushes Tabitha and Butch because she's been, moving to treat Tabitha more and more and more like a lackey.
Right.
And where it's a turnabout where last season Tabitha had the power and Barbara was kind of in there and helping, and now it's been flipped. And Tabitha keeps getting pushed further and further out of control. Butch is trying to talk her into, doing something about it. And they...
She's asserting herself.
Right. And Ed goes in and takes Tetch.
Right.
And while they're arguing. Right. So, it's like... And Barbara is just... livid. Yep. She uses her sources to find out where they're going and all that good stuff. But yeah, she is she's not happy, but she's still very much on top of things. I mean,
this is one step that kind of pushes Tabitha and Butch to the point where they're gonna try and reassert themselves. And
right.
They have this chat where they're saying, well, we're just not gonna take it anymore. And Butch and Babs have this confrontation, and Babs just happens to have a gun. And Butch is, not expecting anything to go down, and she shoots him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I was not expecting.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that, but we'll get into that. But yes, so she shoots him, and then she makes it to the safe house where Tabs is waiting.
Yep.
And Tabs sees
Sans Butch.
Yeah, right. and the hand in the box.
Yep.
And Tabitha wants answers. She wants to know exactly. And we can't move forward until you tell me what happened. Yep.
And there's a little kissing and some trying to make up. Do you want to be more my partner? And Tabitha says, did you kill Butch?
Mm-hmm.
And Bab says, well, I guess we're not going to get past it.
Right.
And there's a bit of a tussle, and guess what? Someone knows how to use a whip.
Yeah, I love the, you know, she gets the gun, Babs gets the gun, and Tabs has the whip, and she's like, oh, what have I told you, you know, and about, you know, the whole idea of bringing a whip to a gunfight. Right. But anyway, but Tabitha gives her a shocking ending.
Yep, right into the electrical wiring, and that, it looks like it could have been the end for Babs, but of course, you know, no body, no death. Right?
Right. Well, even if you have a body, that doesn't guarantee a death here in Gotham.
Exactly. So we have no idea what's going to happen to her. And I thought for sure Butch was dead, which is an interesting turnabout also at the end of the episode.
Well, so getting into that section, when he gets shot, it's pretty dead
for sure
center
for dead.
Yeah. Dead center forehead. But then when we're in the hospital, the wound moved up a little higher.
Right.
Now, and I'm like,
there are people that have been shot dead center forehead. And what happens is it glances off of their skull and kind of skips underneath their skin. That has happened in real life.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that might be what they're aiming at, that maybe his head is really hard. let's assume that's kind of what happened, that he was shot and it maybe didn't go all the way through his skull, or, you know, glanced off and went upwards or sideways, or, you know, something like that. It sure looked final though to me. But yeah, this is what we were skipping over before in the news, is that they didn't know ahead of time that they were renewed. So they shot everything thinking it was going to be final,
mm-hmm.
that it might be final. And then, of course, it looks like they may have gone back in and written some stuff so that they left things open. And this might have been one of those things, to write him in as Cyrus Gold. And of course, Cyrus Gold, look it up on Google if you want, but I'll tell you right now, that is Solomon Grundy.
Yes, and, indeed.
I can't wait to see where they go with this. I'm hoping they don't change him too much, but he's an elemental, like Swamp Thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they're going to work that.
Yeah. I don't either, because we really don't have any, you know, swamps to throw him in so that he can come back from.
Right.
But
now, if he does get somewhere where Hugo is, he could like breed him together with plants, maybe. Like, you
yeah.
know, red fish with a cuttlefish.
Right.
You know how he did that? I mean, he could be hybriding him somehow. That could work for me.
Yeah, you could get Ivy to get a hold of him.
Yeah, something like that. Sure.
Yeah.
Just, I would like him to be elemental, because that really plays into his character. That's how he manages to heal so quickly, and it's a big part of who Solomon Grundy is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I just like his origins, and I would like to see that played out as well. So even if it's in a different way, I know this is Elseworlds, so I would like
right.
to see
mm-hmm.
that origin played out in a Gotham way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. I think it would be cool to see how they spin.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing about Gotham, is how they take the characters and put that Gotham spin on them that make you appreciate that they have, yes, it may be different or a little unexpected, but you grow to really appreciate their take on things. And so, and if it gives him the opportunity to maybe play a little different character, you know, having some of the same, you know, traits and things, but to play a different character is fun too, because that's always fun when you're getting to put a different spin on a character that you've been playing for an actor. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with it.
I am too. They do that with a lot of these characters, which I mm-hmm. love. And Butch, he's been on the show since the beginning. And
right.
to have him come back as someone else, and especially someone as awesome as Solomon Grundy, what a great character that is. Because the nuances that you would have to play in that character, he is very one note, but you have to really put a nuance to that one note. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, exactly. Because
he's simple, but he also has real deep emotions and feelings.
Right.
So you have to convey that
mm-hmm.
through that simpleness.
Right. Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Lenny in Of Mice and Men. It's kind of like mm-hmm. that. And that's a very difficult character to play.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he will step up to that challenge as an actor. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then, of course, we have the speculation that Barbara is now going to be Harley Quinn.
Yeah, that's the speculation, because there was all this talk about that in the last episode. We'll get her introduced to Gotham's right. Harley Quinn.
Now,
and
this is where my 0.5 is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was a lot of hype for nothing.
Right.
Because
yeah.
As far as mm-hmm. I'm concerned, we did not meet Harley Quinn in this episode.
No, I think so. And that's why I knocked it back to 9 for me, is just because of that hype being
right.
overdone. And whether it was there was more and it was cut, we don't know. But yeah. like I
said something. Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my thought. And if they knew it wasn't gonna get like revealed for real, they shouldn't have said anything, because if they say Harley Quinn, then they need to deliver Harley Quinn, even if it's just a hint, like the Cyrus Gold thing.
Right.
You know, Barbara being lit up is not a hint at Harley Quinn. Lee leaving town is not even close to a hint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a doctor, so there's always that chance of her, you know, maybe being Jerome's doctor and falling in love with him. You know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I can't see it happening. And Barbara, there has been absolutely nothing to connect her with Harley Quinn, except for the fact that she looks a little like the character.
Yeah.
So I don't see anyone on the show right now that really I would want to be Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
In my opinion. That's just me. I would like it to be someone that Jerome finds, you know, a peer of Jerome's from the circus or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
So let's keep it in line with it. It kind of has to be someone the same age as Jerome, right?
Because yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I'm done talking about Harley Quinn. So we have that. And then Selena shows up at Sirens. And I'm so excited about this because we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't it be great if she became a siren?
Right? Yeah.
And she walks. And of course, Tabitha's all alone now.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have anybody to cohort with. And all of a sudden, Selena walks in and says, I don't want to be alone anymore. What a revelation, though, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
That's a deep revelation for her, because she's been alone all her life, and that's kind of her modus operandi, is
yeah.
I want to be alone. I want to live on my own terms.
Right. She talks about how she wants to move up, and I think she's lived a life where she's had to fend for herself, but so much of her existence has been she's reacting. Mm-hmm. There's a need, so I've got to go steal to have some food, or my friends are being threatened, so I'm going to react. Or she's taking action, but she's not really being proactive in it. And here she is saying, I want to move up, I want to be more active. And so you have this young woman saying that to somebody who has been out of control, somebody who Lee says she's always played second fiddle. She's been forced to the background by her brother and by Barbara. And now she has somebody coming and saying, I need some help and I want to move up. And she can really take that and run with it and mentor and really make a partner rather than using Barbara like Barbara did. So that's what I'm hoping we'll see.
She's going to take probably that pain that she felt through Barbara using her and turn it into this relationship that she'll have with Selena. And they'll probably be criminals. But I'm guessing it'll be more of a partnership between the two of them.
Yeah.
And she does have a grudging respect after seeing her crack that whip.
Yeah.
She's a natural at that. That was fantastic. She gives her the whip and immediately she breaks the bottle on the bar. And she says, I think we can work with this. And that off they go. I mean, BFFs, right? So I love that. And of course, you know, that's one of her tools of the trade is the Catwoman and her whip. So that was exciting already. And then the piece de resistance is the ending of the episode. Oh man.
My goodness. I loved it because we see a mirror image back to episode one. We see the family coming down the alley instead of, you know, it's a husband and wife, and instead of a son, it's a daughter, a little bit older maybe. And you see the mugger and you don't even see it. You just see this black image until the attack really commences and the mugger is down.
Yep.
And the man in black goes up the fire escape and he's up on top of the roof. And I was going in very slow-mo because they had a spotlight going on and they had lightning. And I looked because I was looking to see if the lightning maybe did a, you know, a bat
like
image,
a bat symbol,
clouds, and it wasn't there. But it was everything but that, because Bruce takes off his mask. He's wearing this long black trench coat, you know, mirroring the cape.
Right.
He's wearing the mask. Yeah, exactly. Right. Looking out over his city.
He's wearing a balaclava, so when he pulls it off, he pulls it like the bat mask, like the cowl. Oh, so great. I mean, it's, oh, he's like proto Batman. It's perfect.
And
it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
And just, you know, sitting there and the little details, because you see him there with the gothic, you know, rain spouts right below him. And as we're zooming up to him, you see water dripping off of it. I love, you know, that's all digital, but it was so cool to really see him taking this step and, you know, moving forward and trying to find his way. And it was, you know, some people say, well, it's too soon, but I'm like, no, I really like it. I mean,
oh, I'm good.
Yeah, because I understand that he's not there yet. He's not Batman.
No.
But he started this this journey this season. And after his encounter with Jerome and talking with Alfred about, you know, setting up rules, and we've seen this progression all through the season of him starting to form this persona. And this is just the next step. I mean, he's got a long way to work on his detective skills, his fighting skills. He's got a ways to go, but he has to make that first step so that he realizes that he needs those other skills and can start to get the training.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the deal, is that he's going to stumble a bit and he's going to realize that he can't be out there without more training.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do some little things to help.
Right.
Maybe go out with James, maybe try and help James detective wise.
Right.
And get some skills from him, try and do some more, you know, strength training, fighting training, some stuff with Lucius maybe. I really want to see all these things happen next season.
Yeah.
He's really going to find out where his weaknesses are if he decides to take this path.
Indeed.
And that's, I think that's going to be the exciting part. And man, when he was standing up there, it was just like goosebumps everywhere. It was so Batman. You know, just little tiny Batman. I wanted to put him in my pocket like a little action figure. It was so great. So yeah, that was one of the best ways to end a season. And really, that's what made this episode so wonderful for me, was how they ended it on such a high note. And all the craziness in these two episodes. And they ramped it up to this point so well, I think. And so, you know, our 9.5-ish rating, somewhere in there, 9.25 between the two of us. Well-deserved, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Did we miss anything?
I think we got it.
Okay. Well, let's go to... So Todd gives us feedback. Hi, Todd.
Hey.
A little bit this week. Great finale. Nice wink to Solomon Grundy with Butch Cyrus Gold. Liked Selena's evolution in this one. Yeah, we did too.
Mm-hmm.
I figured Bruce would use the Lazarus pit on Alfred at some point. A little too convenient, that scene happening right next to the pit. Well, we think it was set up that way. But
yeah.
I'm not convinced that was Bruce at the end. Are we sure it's not the clone? I think it could be. No, I don't think it's the clone.
And no.
The reason I don't think it's the clone is because I think they're setting it up so that he continues, but that he realizes that he won't be able to do the Batman stuff 100%.
Right, exactly.
So I don't think we're going to see 5 anymore. I think that we've seen the last of 5.
Yeah.
But I can see where you would, you know, have that niggling. We haven't really seen him.
What happened to him,
right,
since he skipped.
Right. I don't know. They may close that up, but I don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll read Chris's too. Here's Chris's. Here's my feedback from hour 2. And he always goes point by point, which I love. Lee is wearing so much eyeliner, she might as well be Richard Alpert's sister. That's guy liner, Chris. Guy.
Yeah.
Joan Jett music can make even the best scenes even better. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Penguin is suddenly concerned that something is not entirely above board. It did my heart good to hear Bruce refer to Alfred as family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. In the world of Batman, no good can come from going into an abandoned factory. Yeah, exactly.
Do you want the Joker? That's how you get the Joker. Whoops.
That's right. What, you've never seen a mason jar filled with blood before? Yeah, we like that line too. I like how they've set up Riddler versus Penguin as a battle of intelligence versus street smarts. Yeah, me too. I think that's their dynamic.
Yeah,
I really do. If you boil it down to just the two basic things about them, that is it. Jim and Lee making out, to quote Crow on MST3K, that's it. I'm going to be a monk.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they're kissing when they were both monsters was kind of...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess Street Smarts wins this round. Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention the Iceberg Lounge.
Yeah, so Riddler is on ice and Penguin has designs for his trademark Iceberg Lounge.
I can't wait to see that.
Club,
I
yeah.
Can't wait to see it. And Ed, it's not the Riddler, it's Ed, remember? He doesn't call him the Riddler. He's going to be the centerpiece attraction in the Iceberg Lounge. And I was excited to hear the words Iceberg Lounge because that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Shocking, positively shocking to steal a line from James Bond.
Yeah.
Seeing Selena get the bullwhip for me was like seeing young Indiana Jones get his fedora in Last Crusade. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed.
Cyrus Gold, Butch is going to be Solomon Grundy. That's perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I felt like a freaking cartoon. So many Harvey lines are good, right?
Yeah, and interesting enough, Jim calls him captain when he comes in.
Right.
Not acting captain. So, yeah.
I know. It's got a proportion. And I also like that where he throws everything back in Harvey's face. Harvey's like, hey, we can go out and maybe round up some criminals. And he's like, I don't know. It might be beneath me being the best cop you've ever seen. So great. I love that. Okay, back to the feedback. At the end of the episode, we definitely see the heroes rise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was... Oh, I'm still getting goosebumps every time I think about it. I have to say that I loved almost everything in these 2 hours. Lee was redeemed and ended up as her old likable self. Fish is gone for good, I hope. Solomon Grundy is on the horizon. The Iceberg Lounge is coming into play, and we get early Batman. This is going to be a long summer. For the 2 hours, I was going to score it 8.5 out of 10 mason jars full of blood. But including Crimson and Clover pushes it to a 9 out of 10. It would have been 9.5 if they could have actually gotten Joan Jett to be performing on stage. I deducted 0.5 because in the end, this whole Lee and the virus plot ultimately accomplished nothing, because Lee injecting herself with the virus seemed to be just a way to get Jim to inject himself with the virus. I think that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any signs of any lasting effects from the virus, and there wasn't any problem that Jim with the virus overcame that normal Jim couldn't have figured out how to beat using his mind. Well, they did use his strength a few times.
Yeah.
To me, that would have been more interesting. The only good part was that Jervis got to taunt him a little. I get the whole Jim and Bruce struggle with darkness parallels, but while I love Bruce's struggle, Jim seemed like an excuse to give him creepy black eyes, have him lift people up by their necks like Darth Vader, and act like the Hulk. Normally, I like all of those things, but it didn't work for me here. I was happy to see Lee back to normal. I wish they would have kept her like this all season, because I should never be as annoyed with another character as much as I was with Fish. Thanks for a great season of podcasting. As we get closer to season 4, you should do a predictions episode or an episode where everyone can discuss what they hope to see in the upcoming season. Spoiler alert, we will. Thank you, Chris. All right, why don't you take Adam?
Yeah, we've got feedback from Adam, and I believe it's his first time leaving feedback.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so welcome and thanks. He says, why did they need Ra's al Ghul in last night's episode unless they plan to use him next season? I think they do.
Yeah, spoiler alert. He's in the next season.
The few minutes he was in could have been portrayed by the Court of Owls unless they wanted the Lazarus Pit, because they were looking for a way to kill Alfred and bring him back. Why was a pit in Gotham? Does Roz have a tanker and drive it like one of the pool filling services?
Okay. They are at the intersection of Ley Line, and Gotham has always been rumored to be crazy town frolics because it is at the crossroads of Ley Line. So there could be one there because of that, and he's just exploiting it.
Yeah.
They could be explaining it.
We're not saying that there's a Hellmouth somewhere under Gotham, but we're not denying that either.
Right, exactly.
Going back to the feedback, I was excited to see we now have Solomon Grundy. Mm-hmm. I think they have to keep Barbara dead, killing off 4 characters over these 2 episodes and bringing back 3 to 4 of them back to life really strains credibility. Well, it is Gotham, and it is
comic book, yeah. But you know what? I'd be okay. I love Barbara, mind you.
Yeah.
She was crazy good in these last seasons, but yeah.
He continues, the GCPD should put out a warning or a PSA to families of 3 to avoid alleyways. This is at least the 3rd mugging attempt that I recall. Yeah, it's
Although, you know, Men in Black come to your rescue sometimes. So
there's yeah.
There is that.
So thank you so much, Adam. Yeah. We look forward to hearing more feedback from you in the fall.
No one in Gotham should go down an alley.
No.
This is my advice to you.
You need a buddy system, like 12, okay? 12, okay?
Right.
That's a safe number to walk down an alley.
Even then.
Yeah.
Everybody should be facing a different direction, even then. All right. We have voicemail from Martin the Flash coming up.
Hey, guys. Martin the Flash here. I'm all caught up now. I thought I'd send you in a couple positives and a couple negatives of what I've thought so far leading into your big finale episode. So hopefully this makes it. Lee as a bad guy. It's hard to watch because I love Morena Baccarin so much. I mean, come on, Firefly. I don't have to say anything else. So I'm not sure about her being a bad guy, or should we say bad girl, but I just love her performance, though. You can tell that she's having fun being a bad girl. And the way she looks, all I can say is wow. Simply wow. Another positive. Bruce's journey so far. It's just, I think this is my favorite part of the show right now in the second half of the season. Watching Alfred trying to prove his undying loyalty to Bruce and being his friend, his protector, his father figure. It's just, it's amazing. And I think it's just really cool seeing Bruce over wherever that is, not in Parva, who knows where he is, but he, you know, he's kind of half being trained, half being brainwashed by that shaman character, and then in comes Ra's al Ghul. I mean, I like the storyline. Like I said, I think that's my favorite part of the show. I like where they're going with it. It just shows a very long developed storyline as to what got Bruce to be Batman, the long road it took him to get to that point. And I just think that's fascinating. Do I have to really say much about it? Fish Mooney, come on. She was supposed to be dead. Why did they bring her back again? I don't care about her bringing all the pieces together. And the only part I think was okay was that she kind of handed the reins to Penguin, and it gave him a bit of a kick in the butt to, as you guys were describing, to kind of grow up, I guess, and be the kind of villainous leader he's meant to be. I guess I'm okay with that, but I just never liked her. Her overacting just kills me. It ruins every scene she's in. Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't like Jada in this role at all. All right, let's go back to positive points. Gotham City falling apart. It's really setting up the need for Commissioner Gordon down the line. It's really setting up the need for Batman. I really, really love the darkness of it. The way the city is just collapsing. The cops are losing control. Everything that's happening, it's really becoming a pit of despair to be in that city. I really, really like that. Another positive point, Harvey protecting his partner Gordon again with the undying loyalty, the friendship that's developed between them. I've said this so many times in my feedbacks to you guys that I love Harvey's loyalty to his friend. It's just fantastic. That's just such a huge thing, is loyalty. And the last thing I wanted to bring up then is, as you guys mentioned, Alexander Siddig as Ra's al Ghul. I was just as blown away as you guys for how he looked and the sinisterness he brought without hardly even saying anything. And what I find is funny, because he was also on Game of Thrones for a few episodes, and his role there surprised me. And I find it hilarious that he is getting these dark, mysterious, evil-type roles. When you look back at his role as the Doctor on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, he was such a wimp, such a I'm-scared-of-everything- whatever type of character. It's such a change for him to be taking on these dark, sinister roles, but he's owning it and killing it, so totally love it. Anyway, guys, good job. That's a long feedback. You do not have to play it all. I understand if you want to chop it up, take the parts that you like, but anyway, leading into the finale, can't wait to hear what you guys say about it. Flash is out.
Thanks, Flash. And I did pull it up a little bit. So I hope you don't mind. Yeah, great feedback. We differ on some points, and we agree on most points. Love your feedback, Fly.
Yeah,
and now, definitely. Green Butterfly.
Says,
do you want to read it, or do you want me to read it?
I can read it.
Okay, you read it.
Hi, hand wavy emoji. This is your eye in the sky, Green Butterfly. Butterfly emoji. I saw him. Eyes emoji. Wow emoji. I saw the Dark Knight. Right here in Gotham. I didn't see that ending coming. Absolutely amazing. So much great character interactions in this episode. I love that Selina came and checked on Bruce in the hospital. The scenes between Ed and Oswald were perfect as usual. Both those actors are extremely intense. And Butch and Barbara. You know, some people treat Butch like he's stupid, but he knows what's going on. I think he is smarter than we think. while...
Well, until next season.
yeah, we'll see. While we are on the subject of Butch, they made a point of saying Butch is not his name when he was laying in the hospital. I can't remember what name they said, but is it significant from the comics? And yes, we kind of went into that earlier. Speaking of laying in the hospital, I really thought Bruce gave Alfred water emoji from the Lazarus pit. Yeah, well, he poured it on the wounds, not like down his throat. So, but she goes on and says, but the rules must be different than those established in Arrow because Alfred still had to have surgery and recover in the hospital. Yep. So yeah, we cover that. Yeah. I still remember Sarah Lance leaping out of that pit after being dead for a long time. She needed help with her soul, but not medical attention. I wonder what the rules the Gotham writers will establish for the Lazarus Pit.
Yeah,
we'll
too,
see.
Actually.
Yeah.
It looks like right now that they're not going to be the same
as
Arrow, obviously. But who knows whether they'll be different from the comics or not.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. Yep. And we will see, and will we see it next season? Perhaps bring fish emoji back for a third time.
No, that's not happening. No. I think that she said her soliloquy.
Yeah, yeah. I love heart emoji, the way Harvey saved Jim, mm-hmm. trying to get him to focus on his badge and their partnership. Lee is gone again, but hopefully Harvey will get Jim through it. I think Lee could only live with the pain of her losses with the rage of the virus masking it. Without the rage, she is left with only pain again. Yeah. They have finally done it. The heroes have risen. Bruce is a hero. Harvey is a hero. Jim is a hero. Alfred is a hero. I guess even Hugo is a hero. He did synthesize a cure after all.
Hey, even Tetch is a hero.
Yeah.
He gave all that blood, right?
Indeed.
Hey, Tabitha might be kind of a hero.
Yeah, but they had... Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, whoops. There's a lot of different shades of hero.
Mm-hmm. Green Butterfly gives it 10 out of 10 perfect partners. Aww. And she goes on, and we're going to start blushing here. You know who are perfect partners besides Jim and Harvey? Karen and Jeff. Aww. What a dynamic duo. Thanks for helping me understand what happens in Gotham because I often miss things due to the violence. Because viewer discretion advised in my house emoji, roughly translates to look, eye emoji, away, green butterfly. Emoji. Have a great
exclamation points.
Yep. Have a great thumbs up summer. Love heart emoji. Green butterfly. Butterfly emoji. Smiley emoji. So yeah.
And
the following program contains coarse language and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
And we do have a special section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh yeah, you do yours. Do yours again. Yeah, that's more apt because we did lose the quintessential Batman this last week.
Yeah.
And I met him 10 years ago, maybe a little longer ago. It was a year that my husband and I had been going to conventions all over the place. And we went to a Wizard World. I think it was Wizard World Philly. We went to Wizard World Philly, we went to New York, we went to a couple other ones. But I think it was Philly, and he was there, and we met him for a short time and talked to him, and he was just as nice as can be. And I will treasure that memory for a long time, but I hear that anyone whose life he touched has a similar memory. And he was my Batman growing up.
Yeah, I saw the reruns on cable and are on TV. There wasn't cable at that time, and also hearing his voice on Scooby Doo playing Batman. So I definitely saw him, heard him there, and I had as a kid, I had a. It was a pretty cool. It was a two-sided towel with a head hole, and it was his version of Batman. So, you know, you had your own costume with a towel. So, I grew up and had fun watching that and seeing the adventures that they went through. And it was a whole lot of fun watching him and seeing just the funness that he brought to the role. And because of what he brought to the role, that made me really look forward to the 80s Batman, because sure. You know, by that time I had gotten to read some of the comics. I was interested to see what they would do. But yeah, I think that's the neat thing about Batman is there are places for all those different types of Batman, and I'm really grateful to the gusto that he brought to it and how he was so welcoming of his fans and appreciative of them. And so, yeah, he will really be missed.
Yeah. And he didn't seem to like be a grudging Batman. He welcomed the fact that he played a superhero. And I think that show in particular made it okay to like comics. In the 80s. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids got into comics because they watched Batman. And it's been cyclical since then. You know, oh, it's not cool to like comics. Oh, it's cool to like comics again. You know, but his Batman made it cool to like comics and cool to like Batman in particular. And there were spinoffs of his show, the Green Hornet. Right. And there was a movie and lots of other stuff. But I think without that Batman, there would be a lot of stuff we wouldn't have today.
Exactly.
So, he definitely made a huge impact. And of course he had roles on Family Guy. I was reminded also of a really great episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast that he was on. So if you can find it, you should watch it. He is.
Yeah, I remember that from back in the day, and that was so fun.
Yeah, he is hilarious, so if you can find it. I'm just going to mention here that Chris posted in our Gotham Undercover group that that Ralph Garman has a podcast called Hollywood Babble On, and on 6/10 they released an episode, that's June 10th. He does a little tribute to Adam West at the end of the episode. Now, Ralph Garman had a big part in getting Adam West his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and is a huge fan of Adam West. He and Kevin Smith have a little tribute to him at the end of that episode. So it's worth a listen. So just keep that in mind. Hollywood Babble On, June 10th episode.
Cool.
So if you're downloading that and having. And now we do have a couple of pieces of audio to listen to from John and from Priya. So let's listen.
Hello, Karen and Jeff. It's John, a.k.a. The Substitute, calling in for feedback on your final podcast for Season 3 of Gotham Undercover. A couple of things. I haven't watched the episode yet, so unfortunately don't have any constructive feedback for the episode, but just a couple of things. Number one, I know you're doing some tributes to Adam West, and, I know it's been said over and over again, but, for me, being 46 years old, Adam West was Batman. I mean, as I grew up, he and Burt Ward were the definition of a superhero at that time. You know, I didn't have a lot of comic book access, and so the reruns of Batman 66 that I got to see on television all the time were, you know, the real life version of these heroes. And it's difficult to think about that chapter is now closed. You know, for as much as Adam West loved that character and still stuck with it and voiced Batman, you know, up until just recently, it's just a testament to how much that time changed him and how much has changed so many lives like mine. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to honor him and pay tribute for everything that he's brought to our collective Gotham Batters. Second thing, just real quickly, I just want to give a personal thank you to both of you for including me this year in the podcast, and the couple of times that I've gotten to host, you know, unfortunately, because Karen wasn't able to be there, Jeff has been so gracious to bring me on, and we've had, I think, some really great conversations, and I have so appreciated just the openness and the family that that we have. You guys bringing me on for the films during the hiatus was also just a huge honor and just a real blessing to me. So thank you both. I look forward to all that Gotham has in store for us in season 4, and as long as they want to keep going with it. So as much as or as little as I can be a part of the community, I will be there each and every step. So thank you both. Turning it back over to you. Thanks.
I'm verklempt now.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
That's nice. But what a nice thing to say about Adam as well. I mean, again, I mean, he's in my age category as well. So, yeah, our age category. I don't want to lump you in because, you know, I'm old. So, and here's Priya's. And Priya is very active in the Timeless podcast, but she hasn't been quite so active here. So if you're not familiar with her name, that's why. She doesn't give us feedback so much, but she does listen. So her name's Priya, and she has this to say.
My name is Priya, and I have been a fan of Batman in some form or another because of the original television series with Adam West and Burt Ward. I was very sad to hear of Adam West passing this last Saturday. He was my very first Batman, as I recall watching reruns of this show regularly as a child with my mom. This was one of her favorite shows. When she first moved to the U.S. after marriage, the last season was airing, and she used to look forward to new episodes as this was one of the ways she used to practice her English. This series holds a very special place in our hearts because of the talents of everyone involved, but especially Adam, and we mourn his loss.
Thanks so much.
I know. So sad, and I am going to miss him because he was very active still in the community. He went to conventions, and he did voiceovers. He actually played the Gray Ghost in the cartoon features alongside Kevin Conroy, who did the voice of Batman.
Right, yeah.
And so he will actually be very, very missed. He still was active in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like one of those people that had already faded away. He's very active. So I am going to miss him. I'm sure anyone who's
a
fan. So we just wanted to...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do this again. Back into this, and if you want to get your feedback in, here's how you can do it.
To get your feedback in like these good folks, please get it to us by Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can call us at 304-837-2278, or you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can leave a text file, you can attach an audio file, you can use the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can simply email us at feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. Follow the show on Twitter at GothamGSM. And to subscribe or leave your 5-star reviews for this or any other Golden Spiral Media podcast, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Yes, indeed. And we're also now on Instagram and Tumblr, all at GothamGSM. And we've got a little bit of change. Well, I guess we'll have to get John to do an updated message because Gotham is moving to Thursday nights in September. And it'll still be at 8. So we're going to move our feedback deadline to Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern. And we hope to have the podcast out to you late weekend or early Monday. But it'll give us a little time to work on things. And I like that it's not on at the same time as Supergirl. And we'll just get a little bit of a break for you so that you're not having multiple shows on the same night.
Yes, everything's going to be spread out now because I'm going to get Timeless in the summer next year.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to have anything overlapping, thank goodness, it looks like, except for all the superhero shows who hit in the week because I do the all superhero show. You know, that's a whole separate
mm-hmm.
But, you know, none of my shows that I concentrate on are going to be on the same night. So that's going to be really great. I'll be able to tweet live when I can, and that'll be a really great change. So yeah, there'll be a different John feedback singer in the fall. So look forward to that. And also, as we mentioned earlier, Jeff and I will be coordinating in a couple of months, probably, to do a prediction episode and maybe even a, hey, here's what's coming up if we do get enough information about what's coming up on the
right. You know, with Comic-Con and the stuff going on during the summer, we'll get some news and get some casting info. And so, and when we find out when we're going to be back in September, we can start to sit down and look at things and give you our predictions and ask for yours as well. So keep a listen
so
out.
It's so important to find us on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Keep tuned in there and see where we're going to be and when.
Yeah.
Keep your eye there, and we will see you next time.
That's right.